You now rocking with the best. Just Blaze. Bower. Bitches. Bow down.
Turn my music high, high. Turn my music.
No good! By George, the dream is alive!
Yeah, damn right!
Season 2, Episode 1, By George, coming at ya.
The dream is alive again.
For George Mason Basketball, because you know what? This is Paulson's second year. And I'm kind of optimistic.
I am not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm slightly optimistic.
Okay, and let's talk about some reasons why we're optimistic or pessimistic.
Okay, well, go.
I'll start us off. How many players did we have returning?
Almost all of them, but four.
And, well, more.
More, yeah. I mean, do we want to go down the list? I can give you a listing of,
yeah, maybe some new fans, they don't know, maybe this is their first year of being a Mason basketball fan. They're checking out our podcast because our pictures are tight.
All right, how about I just, okay, well, they're not that tight, but let's go down the list. Marco left. Yep. That will be a negative. He was a good guy, facilitated the ball, kind of did a little bit of everything.
Minus his suspension, was a great player last year.
Sure. Julian Royal, that tanked. Michael Rudy, we all love Rudy.
Rudy.
Right,
Rudy.
We get it, but non-factor. Shevin Thompson.
Isn't it Siobhan? Someone called us out last year. Let's correct ourselves.
He's gone. Anyways, he got some looks. He got some pro looks over the summer while we were away. Unfortunately, was not drafted.
We were psyched for that, too. We were promoting that hard.
But he was drafted by the Premier Basketball League, which, you know.
You ever been to a game?
Check out their website if you want to. If you want to get a feel of how official this league is, check out their website.
And he was 11th pick overall, correct?
PBL, yes.
And to the Washington Generalisms or something.
Generalisms, yeah, sure. The Warhawks or War Eagles, okay. Something like that. Something either way, he'll be in the Where Are They Now files.
Okay, anyways, so who do we have?
We got returning back Otis. What's Otis's role this year? What do you expect from him? What does he need to do to really acclimate himself as a premier guard in the A-10.
Okay, so Otis Livingston's self-proclaimed slim. I think he'll be a leader. I mean, he was a leader last year. He led our team in points. I see him doing the same thing again this year.
I know, just complete. I mean, that was a freshman that was essentially our captain almost.
He did it all. He shot threes. He got to the bucket. He had awesome assists. He probably had our two best plays with the alley-oop to Abram.
Right.
And step back three. So
I think we're looking at Otis as being one of the best players, if not the best player on the squad.
He's coming in tatted. Looks a little bit bigger. You know, maybe he's a little bit more confident. I think we're going to see huge strides from him. Maybe he averages 14 points.
He could still step back and shoot a three. So yep. I'm very
optimistic.
By
George, high on him.
Right. What about Marquise Moore? Me personally, love Marquise Moore. I think he can get to the rim at will. At times he could put the the team on his shoulders. He can, you know, get points when we need him. Obviously, the injury concerns have been a little troublesome, but overall, I love Moore. He's big. He's physical. His shot is ugly but effective. I don't know. What are your thoughts on
Slim is his biggest problem because I view Moore as a point guard. Now we're forcing him to be a shooting guard. I feel like we have two point guards out there instead of somebody who, you know, wants to catch and shot fake and shoot and get to the basket. So I am a little bit confused about, is this going to work? Didn't really work. Is it going to work this year?
I think it works in a game versus VCU when you need multiple ball handlers.
I agree.
I think Paulson has the ability to use him at the same time or individually. So he's definitely a great option to have. What about Grayer?
Grayer, I'm sized for. I mean, the guy looks jacked. It looks like he's putting the work in the offseason.
Oh, he's jacked.
We know that he has a good pedigree. And the guy can shoot, he can score, he can get to the bucket. Can he defend? And can he drive when we need him to drive instead of settling for threes?
Sure. Did he become a little one-dimensional last year at times? Sure. But I think he can do whatever he really wants to do on the court. I think he might be the most talented player on our squad.
And besides Moore, he could be the most athletic player on our team.
Oh, very much so.
We're high by George, continues to be high on Grayer.
Right. What about Jenkins?
Jenkins, you know what? We're going to do our starting lineup predictions a little bit later, and I got a little surprise for you. I think that he's just going to be a role player. I think he's going to get some rebounds. I think that Hewitt destroyed him. Can Jenkins come back from Hewitt? I think no.
False. I am high on Jenkins. I think he's going to come in. He's got the senior leadership. He looks even bigger. I think he's going to have a very productive season, large role on the team. I'm looking for him to be a legitimate leader on and off the court.
Will he be a captain?
Sure. Okay. I mean, whatever. What about DeAndre?
Abram, I'm extremely high on. If you follow his Twitter,
so let's just backtrack. High. We're high on everybody.
Well, all of the incoming sophomores.
Sure.
I mean, why not? The kids are ballers last year. But either way, if you follow his Twitter account, wish I could read it to you, give him a little plug, but I can't. Then you would see that he's throwing down alley-oops in practice that just make him look so athletic. And he displayed some of that ability last year. I think he's going to be an explosive player that can play the 2, 3, or 4 position.
Yeah, he's getting me size. Yeah, you could work him around the court. He can play any position. Yeah, like you just said, I think he can shoot the three. He can get hot when he's hot. He can dunk. He just needs to add a little bit, a few more elements to his game to be a more rounded player. What about Cam?
Cam, we had some high expectations for him coming into the season because at the open scrimmage we watched, he was just nailing threes, and I think everyone got a little high on him. I'm not down on him yet. I think he can be a tough defender. We need extra guards in the A-10. You can tell it's a very guard-heavy league. We need a guy that can come in and shut down some backup guards. So, you know, I'm high on him. You know, I think that he's small. He clearly looks like a football player, but I feel like Paulson can find a way to use him.
Yeah, I think defense will be his number one role in the squad. I think he's going to be more of a complimentary player. He'll be out there, you know, facilitating plays. I don't really expect much from him. He did get a lot of open looks last year. They didn't fall. You know, maybe if he perfects a shot this year, they will fall, and he could be like a nice Isaiah Tate. What are your thoughts on Danny Dixon? I know that we're a little bit different in terms of where we see Dixon coming in this year. I'm not as high on him. I think he needs to be more of a bruiser. He needs to get a little bit bigger. What are your thoughts on him?
You know, I'm very high on him for the simple reason that I believe that he's a finesse player. I believe that he can step back. He can hit a jumper from the elbow. I believe that he will continue to get better with his touch on his like jump hooks in the paint. I just see him as a player who by his senior year is going to be a scorer. Maybe not yet. Yeah, I get it. He's smaller. He looks like he's a little bit too weak for the A-10.
He was getting worked last year, but the A-10 had like a lot of big you know, centers, and yeah, he was getting worked, but I don't know. We'll see.
How tall is he?
I think he's listed at 6'10".
I mean, so he could 6'10". Is he the tallest guy on our team?
Yes.
Yeah, so what other options do you have? I mean, it may just be him.
I'm thinking the next guy, maybe Daniel Rovallo.
And someone, please correct us on how to say his name. We're just going to call him Big Dan for now.
Big Dan.
Even though he's a smaller Dan of the two, so maybe we should call him Little Dan?
Just call him something.
So if you got a nickname for him, please comment below and let us know what you're going to refer to him as. But, you know, honestly,
no one knows what to expect from him. We didn't really get to see him last year.
Is he even working out with the team? It looks like he's like constantly in sweats watching when they're doing those military workouts.
Right.
So I'm starting to question, like, is the tendonitis that bad that he is not even participating at this point?
We'll see. He just might be depth this year.
But we need him to be a little bit more than depth.
Right. Well, and then did you want to get into the freshmen and what roles they may have? Or should that be like its own little segment?
I think that we should at least, how about this, we'll intro a segment. Freshmen with the most impact. Jones, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be me personally. I'm high on Kamari Newman. The kid was, I think, nominated for Mr. Basketball for the state of Michigan. He's a pure shooter. He's a little skinny, but he's got length. And when I watch his shot, it's just so crisp, so clean. I think he's going to make a difference in terms of just giving us the, those open looks from downtown and scoring a few buckets where we didn't have them last year. Our three-point shooting percentage was terrible. So I think we really needed someone to kind of come in and shoot that. What about you? Who is your impact freshman of the year?
I'm going to say it's going to be Troy Tamara.
Whoa.
Tamara.
See you, Tamara. Here today, gone Tamara.
I think just looking at our roster, we have no big man depth. And he's the only big man that we really added. So I believe that, you know, out of all the freshmen, he's going to get the most playing time. And I do think that he is pretty explosive. He is strong. And I think that he can handle some of the power forwards in the A-10.
He's got like a little Mike Moe in him or something. I think he's got a little flair to him.
Like he's going
to
fight someone?
Follow him on Snapchat.
He's definitely working on his game all night long. He's in the Patriots, or he's in Eagle Bank Arena until the lights get turned off. He's always like posting about it like at 1 a.m. in the morning. Then he's waking up at 6 a.m. for swimming.
And he's taking a golf cart everywhere.
Right. So it actually kind of looks like it could be kind of tight to be a Mason basketball player right now.
I think the freshman crew, and don't get us wrong, I think Ian Boyd's going to be like obviously huge. Kier, I'm big on. AJ Wilson, everyone's going to be big this year.
Everyone has a chance to play.
Yeah.
That's the thing about joining the Mason basketball program right now.
Yeah,
if you ball out, you're gonna play.
Yeah, and that was the selling point that Paulson probably sold all these kids on. So, yeah, I'm high on all these kids, some more than others, but I do think our freshmen this year and last year have really got like a strong bond. So I think really we're building like a really tight squad. So it'll be interesting to see how it comes out on the court.
Okay, so Jones.
Yes.
Did you turn 30?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, what did you do for your 30th birthday?
Well, I went out to Luray, actually.
Oh, and I was there, too.
Yeah, it was actually a surprise tubing, camping, overnight bit.
Were you surprised?
I actually was. I was actually surprised so many people came from New York and all over the place just to be there for my 30th. Great. I loved it. The one thing that kind of tanked, I got a reckless ticket going out to Luray just so that we can get there in time for the tubing. That bombed.
Because one of our friends was a little bit late, and so it kind of put everybody on tilt.
Right. So now, let's see, October 4th, I'm due in court out in Washington, Virginia, which is about an hour and 45 minutes away, and I now have to dispute my reckless.
So it's not in D.C.?
No, it's actually not Washington, D.C., but Washington, Virginia. So that's fun. So hopefully the cop, you
welcome
know,
to 30.
Right. So, you know, I was going like 80 and I didn't care.
Hopefully they lower it.
Right.
Happy birthday, Jones.
Thank you.
Paulson predictions. What do you think Paulson will do in his second year with George Mason basketball Patriots?
Are we referring to maybe like a record prediction? Like what are the expectations? Because here, really it's going to be lower part of the A-10. We're going to finish in the bottom half. Is that a win? Yeah, in a way. I mean, we've tanked the last few years. So if we can finish, you know, not in last, that's a bit of a victory.
So you don't want us to play in one of the play-in games,
obviously.
For the A-10
so
tournament.
I think if we can get maybe 15 wins, I think it's doable. We have a soft schedule. We actually had some big wins last year. Who knows? Does that translate to this year? Can we take down Davidson again? VCU, the A-10 as a whole probably going to be a little bit better this year, including us. So, I don't know.
But will you see strides in Paulson's coaching ability? Because I know we've had some harsh criticisms,
sure,
of him. And so, you know, one thing that I would like to see an improvement on is our team defense, okay? Are we going to show any ability to play full court defense or at least a pressure half court man? We
have mother effing turnover. Jesus. I mean, how many stats were we almost at the bottom of or dead last year nationally? I mean, turnovers, we were not even close to being, you know, anywhere but dead last. So, Paulson's probably going to take a look at some of the film, you know, learn some of the tendencies of the coaches in the A-10. It's his first year in the A-10.
He had to learn, too.
It's our team's, what, second or third year in the A-10? So it's all new to everyone, but you really hope that, really, you just want to see that maybe there's, like, a spark. Maybe we do something, you know, extraordinary. I don't know.
Well, I think one thing that will open up is last year, I felt like the team was so focused on getting Siobhan involved because he's like 7 feet tall and probably your best player that all of our offensive sets ran around trying to get him the ball. Problem is, he couldn't escape a double team. So it didn't matter if we went, as soon as we played a bunch of numbers to start, and all they had to do was double and triple team him, and it was turnover after turnover. So I feel like this year, with the players that he has, most of them are his, like we pointed out earlier.
All but two.
It will give him the option to run the offense through whatever player he wants to. I don't think we have that player that has to touch the ball in the offense this year, and I think that will give everybody a chance to kind of create for themselves.
For Paulson last year, Siobhan was a blessing and a curse. Obviously, you want to have an NBA prospect on your team, but it definitely wasn't a guy that kind of fits his mold. He likes a guy that can maybe step back and shoot or facilitate. Siobhan just could not pass or had any real prowess around the net. He can score, he could jump, he had like a few good moves here and there, but I don't think ideally Paulson would have, wanted him in his, rotation, but
now, I almost wish Siobhan was like a backup center at a good school where he could come in, he could compete with people his size. The problem is he could not compete against smaller guys who triple teamed him, and not many can. You have to have good footwork. You have to have good court vision. I mean, there's a lot of things you got to be able to do from the block as a center, and he just couldn't do them.
Danny Dixon is sort of the antithesis of Siobhan Thompson. I think, you have, similar height, but their skill sets are completely different. And one was, obviously recruited by Paulson and the other not. So that just shows you sort of what type of player he was looking for in terms of a big man. So,
and can Danny Dixon rebound? That's going to be – he's going to play if he can rebound. That's it.
My prediction, Jalen Jenkins leads the team in rebounds.
Okay, so let's go ahead and head to segment three. Who's going to start for the Patriots?
All right, well, can I get a minute and write it down or something? All right, well, let me just roll it off the top of my head. Number one, Otis is going to be starting point guard. That's easy.
Okay.
Keese will be our two. Mm-hmm. He'll be sort of that second point guard. At the three, we're going to have Grayer. We're going to run a little bit smaller, but A-10 is a guard-heavy conference, so it doesn't really matter. At the four, I think we run with... tough. Probably Jenkins leaving Dixon there for the five. Even though I think like maybe Jenkins could be our five.
So if you put Jenkins at your five, who are you squeezing into that four
maybe
spot?
Maybe Abram.
So Abram.
But then I don't know. We just wouldn't have much size.
And it's hard to tell. I mean, what is today's date? It's like the 27th.
Sure.
Okay, so it's September 27th. We're but far from the season. So we're just trying to give you our predictions early on. Mine's pretty similar. I got Otis at the one, Marquise Moore at the two, Grayer at the three. Sure. I got Abram at the four, and I'm squeezing Danny Dixon in at the five, with Jenkins being your impact player off the bench who can play your three, four, five spots. So pretty similar. We just don't agree on the five spot. I'm taking the young guy. Chris is taking the veteran. Makes sense both ways.
You got to show appreciation to a guy that was drafted by Hewitt back in 2012. I mean, Jenkins has been here through thick and thin. I think he deserves a spot. And his skill set is there. I think he's a really good rebounder. He's really good at putting buckets back off the boards. He's just...
his freshman year. We're still resorting back to the time where he was like almost A-10 fresh.
But Hewitt messed with him. He didn't know what he was. Am I a three? Am I a five? Am I a four? Am I skinny? Am I, thick? Like what?
Right. So we all know that Hewitt...
bombed.
You're right, he bombed. And he bombed the players that he brought in. I mean, Marquise Moore could be a lot. I mean, just I think we're all kind of over that era, and it's sad that they're leaving because we actually like both the players that are seniors this year.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to you always hate on every senior every year.
Right, but this year I like both of them. Sure. And so I'll be sad to see them go, but at the same time, I'm ready for Dave Paulson's crew of all of his own players at this point.
Sure. So yeah, that would be my starting five. I don't really envision any freshman infiltrating that. Maybe at some point, if someone steps up, maybe an Ian Boyd can pop in. But I really don't see any freshmen starting anytime soon. So
right. So if you have, what we need a little bit more from you as fans of both George Mason basketball and By George is leave comments underneath our podcast, letting us know what your starting lineup
would
be.
Give us feedback.
Right. The only feedback you gave us last year was, you're saying this guy's name wrong. Thank you. But be interactive. That's what Mason basketball needs. It needs fans that are excited, that are commenting, building the hype before the season even starts.
Before the season implodes, essentially, because after game five, we're going to be 1-4. And
as long as we don't...
No, we're going to beat Lebanon Valley. We're going to beat them all.
Well, we thought we were going to beat, who'd we lose to? I was trying to think of who.
Colgate.
We lost, Wofford early on.
That was a few years ago.
But either way, every year I'm saying we just can't win that first game versus a nubby team. I think this team returning as veterans who are working hard, as made clear by all of their social media posts, I think we're going to see a different team this year.
I think for the first time in a while, there's no real... there's no arrogance, I guess. There's no sense of entitlement with George Mason. We don't expect to win games. We've kind of been down in the dumps for the last few years. And I think with a lot of teams, we're going to be the underdogs, and I think we're going to play scrappy. And I don't know, maybe we surprise a lot of schools. Typically, if we played a Mount St. Mary's game three, we would look past them. But with this squad, they don't know winning, so they're going to try every game. They're not going to look past any opponents. I think we might see some great effort this year on the court, and so I don't know. We're playing this year, get this, Lebanon Valley. You can Wikipedia them, good luck. And then we're also playing Prairie View A&M. These are two no-namers.
And before this season, we were always concerned with, how can we get that big game? Who are we going to schedule? Home and away.
The big game doesn't matter.
Need wins.
Yeah, Hewitt was, he was shooting for the stars. Yeah, of course, we would love to play Duke. We'd love to play Miami. We'd love to play everyone. But
I'd love to play Virginia Tech.
Right. But we're just not going to win those at this point. So let's just get some W's under our belt, build some confidence, and see where that takes us. Brian.
Yes, Jones.
How was your summer?
Dude, my summer was fantastic. The weather killed it. I relaxed. Actually, I didn't. I started a new job, so I've actually worked the entire summer. But,
you're just lying.
I'm lying. But that's I still had some fun.
Okay. Well, anything specific? Did you go anywhere? Did you listen to, did you go to any concerts or anything?
Let me think. Well, we did both go to this concert in my neighborhood.
Where is your neighborhood? You're in Logan Circle.
So I'm in DC.
And you went to DC9 for that concert.
DC9, and we listened to Hockey Dad. 19-year-olds from Australia making banging surf music.
They're making some banging music right now. Didn't you also go to that Kanye concert?
And I went to a Kanye concert. I went to a Drake and Future concert. Wow. So my concerts kind of popped, but I got to say Hockey Dad was my favorite. Why? Because I was in the front row. I knew every word to every song, and it just felt very raw.
And how much was that ticket?
About 10 bucks.
Not about 10 bucks. It was 10 bucks.
But our friend bought 4 tickets and only took himself, so he spent about 40 bucks.
That's tough. Shout out to Mikkel.
Mikkel, what's up? We both had great summers. We hang out a lot. By George, also friends outside of making basketball.
<Shut up.
laughs> All right, next segment.
Who is By George? What is it? Is it a way of life? What?
So, for us, we started By George because we noticed that the fan base was falling off.
It was lacking. This was during the Hewitt era. We've been fans way before then, but you notice a trend. You notice the attendance is going down.
Bloggers just killing the program.
Sure.
And not really sicing anything. People on campus don't even know that we're D1. You know, like, there was just a lack of a community feel. And so Chris Jones and myself, Brian Lawrence, decided to put together By George, a George Mason basketball podcast, bringing you cool news, Mason culture, and up-to-date information.
But we're not only a podcast. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram. Give us those handles real quick. Twitter.
On Twitter, we are at By George Mason.
At By George Mason.
Yep, and we tweet a lot. So we're retweeting former players. We have Twitter interviews with current players. I even did a Twitter interview with a George Mason cheerleader. So if you're an 18-year-old out there and you're looking to find some buttons, By George may be the place to go. So what is our Instagram? Because Chris Jones
it's by underscore George. And this year I got a new Olympus OMD camera. You're gonna love the pics. I guarantee it.
And our picks are already tight. And so we're only upgrading in that avenue. And I'd say that's probably one of the best things that By George brings to the program is the fact that we're on the court taking pictures. We're not paying some dude to sit down on the court to take our pictures. We're not Googling images and reposting.
We're not popping out the iPhone 7 and taking a few still shots. This is legit photography.
Right. So peep our Instagram at By underscore George for some cool pictures. Like us, follow us,
do whatever the hell you want.
We want you to interact with us. We're trying to help raise the community. Again, By George is just a podcast. We're featured on Giant Killer's website, which is www.giantkiller.co. Not come, but co. Okay,
no coming.
No coming. So please check out the website. We have A10 information every week. We have.
No, we don't. we'll give you some updates.
No, but it's the one guy who, Tyler, he did the like sports broadcasting stuff for Mason. He's now writing for Giant Killer, and he's doing an A10 special. Giant Killer also has a great recruiting Twitter handle that does give you up-to-date information on our recruiting.
Now, if you're really into Mason basketball, please follow the Giant Killer recruiting Twitter handle. It really does. It updates me because a lot of times you get lost in it. You check ESPN, you check Scout, you check, you know, Rivals, whatever, 24/7. Giant Killer is really just giving all the most up-to-date information on who we're looking at, who's signing, who's in, who's out. I mean, Giant Killer's doing it all.
Yep, and you can follow the Mason recruiting site at GMU Recruiting. And so right now, I got to be honest, he's got 159 followers. I'm going to challenge you guys to show that you care an ounce about the Mason basketball program and go throw the guy a follow because he deserves it for all the hard work he's putting in. He told me the other day he has players' parents sending him highlight videos. That's how official people think he is. And so go follow him, okay? Let's get our numbers up. Let's get Giant Killer's numbers up. The guy is constantly posting about George Mason University and cool things to do and ways that we're in the news and blah, blah, blah.
That's great. But not only that, let's also try to just get George Mason basketball, the community, the numbers up. VCU right now, if you click on any one of their Twitter handles, you know, they've got Ram Nation, Ram Recruiting, all this bullshit. Their numbers are huge, and it just makes me sick because at one point, you know, we were better than them. Like, we were equal, whatever. And at some point, their fan base, they're just doing sellouts every night at the Siegel Center. They're wreaking havoc. I just want to get our numbers. I want to get our fan base. I want to get a lot of things back up to where they were and so that we can be equal with some of our in-state rivals.
Breaking news. George Mason is a D1 program, so pay attention. Go to the soccer games. Check out the baseball games. Get involved. If you're part of Greek life and you're hosting parties on the day of Mason games and not even showing up, that's a damn shame. Pre-game, get all hammered and go to the game. You can walk.
Well, I don't know if we can...
I advertise we for the youth getting banked.
We cannot legally support them drinking.
Okay, okay. I apologize. Either way, I think we've given you what By George is. We have clothing. We have clothes. We got shirts. We got dad hats. We're bringing you stickers. I mean, we're trying to do whatever we can.
All of which we only have a few shirts.
Yeah. So if you want one, I'm handing them out for free. So just contact us on one of our social media handles.
Sure. So that's it. Bada bing, bada boom.
Good night.